station, Munich, on space to ground 2 for Sergei and VCA activation. No response required, Sergei. Just for your awareness, we will be coming on board pretty soon with the VCA 2 starboard activation in prep for your PK4 activities today.
Munich station now 2 for PK4 screen.
Good morning, Sergei. Your Munich is with you on 2. Go ahead.
On our side, video monitor and image is looking good.
We copy that, Sergei. We would appreciate if you could adjust the camera so we could have a full screen.
You mean zoom out?
And Sergei, you need you to zoom it in a bit so we can have the screen on full.
Copy.
And Sergei, this looks awesome to us.
Thank you. Huntsville, station on 2 with a quick ultrasound 3 question.
And Huntsville's with you on 2.
Hey, good morning. I am starting to gather things for the ultrasound 3 task. I just had a quick question about, I'm looking for a laptop desk to grab for the setup, and I was wondering, just sort of long-term, are we expecting to have ultrasound 2 and ultrasound 3 both set up for the next bit? I'm just trying to figure out where I should steal a laptop desk from and how long it's going to be used there.
And Chris, so the plan is to keep both of them deployed for the near term. So I guess take that into consideration with however you want to set up the laptop desk. But near term, they'll both be set up.
Okay, that helps. Yeah, I'll try to find something that I can that we won't need again in the near future for a laptop desk. Thanks. Huntsville station on 2. I've got the Columbus camcorder set up, and whenever it is possible and convenient for you, you guys are welcome to come on board.
Okay, we copy all, and we'll let you know once we get a good field view check. And station
Huntsville station on 3. Huntsville station on 2.
Hey Chris, we're with you on 2. I think that was perfect timing. We called each other at the same time.
I am working the ultrasound 3 procedure. I'm not sure if you can see the screen, but there's an enter password prompt after I powered it up.
And we copy. We're checking on that. And while I've got you, I know you're working through the end of your setup procedure, but this is your hand pass reminder with the rise time of 12:21.
Copy that. Yeah, I should be hopefully done with ultrasound in a moment, and we'll pop right over there. Thank you very much.
And Chris, Huntsville's back with you on 2. So the PD's talking that password prompt on the ground. We'll have an answer for you on the other side of your hand pass when we step into that next activity. So for now, I think we're good to go.
Copy that. And I will just leave stuff set up like this. Do you want me to partially close the lid?
And Chris, partially closing the lid is fine by us.
Sounds good. I'll do that. Huntsville, station on 2, I'm completed with my hand pass.
Okay, copy, Chris. We have your remote guider enabled on Space to Ground 3, and I think big picture, we'd like to proceed with performing steps 2.6 through 2.8 in the checkout activity, which is 1.001, and then if that's no joy, I think we'll proceed with giving you those credentials on Space to Ground 3. So they're waiting for you on Space to Ground 3 when you're ready.
Copy. Headed over to Space to Ground 3. And station on 2.
Pencils with you on 2. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, just a quick resto question. As I was putting stuff away, I noticed ever since I've been up here, we've had a piece of Zotec foam velcroed to the HRF-1 rack that says CM probe kit. And I was just wondering, I'm assuming this is from the CM probe kit I was just using. Should that foam be there? Should the probe kit be in the foam? Or is that foam trash? Or just wanted to check on it.
And we copy the question. Chris, we are checking. We'll get back to you here in a few minutes.
Copy that. And if it's helpful, I can show that to you on the Columbus camcorder if you'd like.
Copy. We may take that view. We still have it restricted down here, so HRF may be able to see it if that's helpful to them. And Chris Huntsville back with you on two. Just getting where HRF can no longer see that view, so we don't need the view at the moment, but we will get back to you with the answer to your question. Thanks.
Copy all. Thanks.
Station Huntsville on space to ground two for Chris and phone trash question answer.
Go ahead on two.
Hey, Chris, we heard back from HRF, and they are go for you to trash that foam. It can just go in the general foam trash in Cygnus.
Copy that. I will just put it in the foam trash. I got a giant CTB of foam trash just by HTVX1, if that works.
That should work as well, Chris, if we could just get the serial number of that CTB to put that trash in.
Sounds good. I'll give it to you in a moment. It is a 10.0, standby. And that went in 10.0-5075, and that is the same foam trash that we've been using to pack SpaceX 33 bags with. So if we don't want to use that for packing material, let me know.
We copy 5075, and that's a good location, Chris. Thanks.
Copy you. And Huntsville and Houston on two, just for a quick note. If we're planning on doing post-arrival ultrasound in that area with ultrasound 2 and ultrasound 3 both kind of currently set up where they are, we have a lot of just stowage stuff in that day 4 of Columbus. We got like an EHDC that's kind of floating there, and it might be worthwhile to spend a few minutes figuring out where we can move stuff around if we're going to be doing a bunch of work there in the next 2 weeks.
And Chris, thanks for the heads up. We will take note of that. So Houston and Huntsville both copy, and we'll see if we can get some cleaning scheduled before our Crew 12 friends show up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I was able to make it work no problem with just myself, but I was kind of sitting on top of an EHDC, which is probably not ideal when you're having multiple people and new people up here.
Understand.
Huntsville Station on Space to Ground 2 for the Ultrasound 3 power off.
Huntsville is with you on 2, Chris. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was ready to get started in 2.004. I know it's a couple minutes early, but I was wondering if I have your go in step 1.
Hey, Chris. Yeah, we do need just a few more minutes of HRF commanding before we're ready for you to power that off, so we will give you a call here in just a few minutes.
Copy that. That sounds good to me.
Station Huntsville back with you on 2. Chris, you are now go in step 1.
Copy, go in step 1. Thank you. Houston, station on 2. Quick EMER equipment task question.
Get you on 2, Chris.
Yeah, I put this in an open. I figured I might as well just ask you. This 4.05016 that I gathered, it has just like an empty 1.0 CTB in it as well, 1.0-5343. Is that supposed to be in here?
Checking.
The label on that empty 1.0 is Ayers Food.
Copy, Ayers Food. Just left that one behind. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris when able regarding StowTrack.
Head on to.
Hey, so when we developed this StowTrack message, we basically didn't account for this. This was as expected. 1.0 CTB 5343 should be stowed in 4.0 CTB 5016. We didn't have that step for you here, but you're ahead of the game.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it was just an empty CTB in there, so I just I wasn't entirely sure that was correct or not, so thanks for confirming. I'll leave it in there.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Spin station on 2. Quick question. StowTrack 4.10.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris.
Okay, so in the lid of this CTB, there was a Ziploc bag with the word medium written on it that has inside of it medium nitrile gloves, and then another Ziploc that says large, which looks like it has a couple, maybe large nitro gloves in it. I just wanted to make sure that was expected slash desired. I didn't see any medium nitro gloves bag on the list.
And Chris, Houston's back with you on 2. So the expected configuration for CTB5536 is one pair of large nitrile gloves. You can stow the other gloves in a pantry.
That, so I'll take all the other gloves out and just leave one pair of large nitrile gloves.
Good read back. Thank you. Station Houston for Chris at your convenience with a go back for stow activities.
Chris is here on two.
Hey, so I got to go back in step two. So that empty 1.0 CTB serial number 5343 that you found should actually be stowed inside of the 1.0 CTB serial number 5036, which is currently inside of the 4.0 CTB. Basically, we don't want it out loose. We want it inside of another CTB.
Okay, copy that. Inside 5036. Stand by.
And that's a good readback.
Okay, I put that 1.0 inside 1.05036. 1.05036 had another empty CTV in it and some bubble wrap, just to confirm.
Checking. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2-4. Chris, the final config for 1.0 CTV 5036 should be only one empty 1.0 CTV and bubble wrap. You can stow the other 1.0 CTV in a pantry.
Copy that, and work. And station on 2, I removed 1.0-5047, which was in 1.05036, and we'll put that in the pantry.
Copy, removed 5047. Thank you, Chris.
And Houston, station on 2, 5.01 of stow track.
Chris, Houston's with you on 2.
All right, I think I know the answer to this question, and I think me asking the question is just a way of stealing myself for the work ahead. But this NORS mount with the EMER air supply is currently at the far end of the crew lock, and in between me and that tank are some EMUs, a strut bag, and a whole bunch of EVA stuff. And so, clearly we're going to need to get that out and get it in position for crew 12. And I was just wondering about the choreography, because if I pull it out and try to reposition stuff in the crew lock, the reason it's back that way in the crew lock is for basically just protection of everything, and it's kind of out of the way and not at risk of, you know, hitting EMUs and that sort of thing. My understanding is I should kind of rearrange things and pull that towards the front, because we'll be moving that to crew 12, obviously, but everything else that's in the airlock, I'm not planning on touching between now and crew 12 arrival. Is that correct?
Checking.
And Houston station on 2, if it's helpful for your guys, just insight into the airlock situation. I've got the Node 1 camera pointed into the airlock, and so we can kind of work through this together and figure out the right forward plan.
We appreciate that, Chris. We are trying to downlink that video now. Thank you. Airlock Houston on Space to Ground 2, no response required, Chris, but we got you on video. So when you're ready to talk, we will be available and watching. Happy thumbs up.
Ready to talk. I'm happy to go in and rearrange it. I just wanted to make sure that's actually what we really want to do.
Happy, and we're still discussing that. We'll check the video, and we'll be back to you shortly.
Houston Station, I took one more data point. Is that I can swim in there and totally do all the verify and checks on the tank. So no issues getting those done today. It's more of a question of the reorg.
Happy. Thanks, Chris. Airlock Houston on 2-4. Chris, we would like for you to go ahead and pull out that EMER air supply from the crew lock, and you can rearrange so that it is near the front of the crew lock for crew 12.
That, let's do it.
And we appreciate your work on this, Chris. Copy, thumbs up, and a big smile.
Houston station on 2 for a stowage strategy question. I've got Fink and Cardman ECOX here. I assume those are going to be going somewhere else in the not-too-distant future, so those should also be sort of near the front.
Checking. Airlock Houston on Space Ground 2 for Chris and the Fink and Cardman ECOX.
Head on 2.
Yes, we'd like for you to leave them toward the front of the airlock, relatively accessible, because we may need to use them as spares.
Copy that. And I guess while I have you guys thinking about this, for restoring the crew lock, so currently I've got two EMUs, a strut bag, some configured mini workstations, and a cable bag, and a 4.05204. I'll definitely take any words or suggestions you have on sort of what should be least accessible and what should be most accessible.
Copy. We'll take that and get words back to you shortly.
Houston, station on 2 with one more emergency air supply stowage question.
Houston's with you on 2, Chris.
Hey, I'm guessing the answer to this is probably no, but I figured I'd ask it. But what about putting the emergency air supply, like, in the gem on, like, I think there's some space in deck 2, like, just pretty close to the forward part of station, and a little bit easier of a place to stow it with, you know, some good just bungee it to the deck type of a thing.
We copy, and currently flight is taking 2, so as soon as we get approval one way or the other, we'll let you know. Happy thumbs up.
Houston, airlock on 2, question 5.04.
With you on 2, Chris.
Hey, I'm trying to just double-check the serial number of this EMER air supply regulator. There's clearly a regulator installed, but I don't see any indication of a regulator serial number, and I'm wondering if I would need to take the cover off to see that. And if so, if you wanted me to do that, or if we're good, just that it's there.
Good with confirmation that the regulator is installed.
There's definitely a regulator here. Cool. Thanks.
Station on 2 for PK4, video monitor.
Good afternoon, Sergey. Munich here. So, we are in a good configuration for your activity, so you can switch off the laptop and remove and trash the PK4 banner from EPM.
Okay, got to hear you. In work. Munich station on 2 for PK4.
Go ahead, Sergey.
Computer is turned off, and PK4 banner is also removed.
Thank you, Sergey. That's all for the moment. Then we have a cool down period of a few minutes, and talk to you later.
Okay.
Station Houston on 2 for Chris regarding stowage and airlock when able.
Say again for Chris on 2.
I got a partial answer for the reconfig of all the items in the airlock. I guess bottom line up front, we want that 4.0 CTV 5204 to be accessible because it'll be required after Crew 12 arrival. All the other EVA-specific hardware you can leave toward the back of the airlock. We don't require access to it right away. Still waiting on Jack's approval regarding your recommendation to stow the EMER air supply at GEM Deck 2. Houston is okay with that plan, but just requires Jack's approval.
Yep, okay, yeah, that sounds good to me. And then do you guys happen to know whether we'll need access to those EMUs before or after we'll need access to some of the EVA task stuff?
Checking. Station Houston 2 for Chris. Unfortunately, we cannot answer that question because we do not have an EVA flight controller on console.
Not a problem. I'll just do what kind of makes sense. And if we got to rearrange it later, we rearrange it later, and no big deal. But I figured I would ask since I had you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries, and thanks for being flexible.
Absolutely. Houston, station on to one other quick Dragon stowage question. In the crew lock, there's also a 2.05007 labeled SpaceX Pressure Suit Large. I assume this should also be near the front and accessible.
And Chris, yes, we would like that 2.0 CTV 5007 to be more accessible. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris. When able, you'd have a go to attempt stow the EMER air supply at GEM Deck 2 Rec. And copy, thumbs up.
Thanks. Yeah, that's thanks to our Jackson friends for that, because I think that just makes a lot more sense. These EMER air supplies, they don't really have a good way to, like, attach them to anything other than plunging them to a flat surface. So I think that'll be really nice. Thank you.
And we concur. Hey, you're welcome.
Houston Station on 2, just for your SI, I'm putting 2.05184 extra legs at the far end of the crew lock. Let me know if that's a bad idea. Houston, airlock on 2.
With you on 2, Chris.
Hey, first of all, thank you very much for all the help with that crew lock reorg. I think future Chris is going to be really happy with all the help that the team today gave him. So thank you very much for that. Second of all, I don't know if you can still see the camera, but I found this to be little pieces of disintegrating gray foam floating in the airlock. And over the past couple weeks during house clean, I've been finding these like on the vents in the airlock and that sort of thing. Do you have any idea what this could be from?
Checking, Chris. And while we're checking, I just wanted to let you know that your idea of placing a 2.0 CTV serial number 5184 was a good idea. So, yes, even though you already did it, it's part of the equipment or the crew lock. Just wanted to let you know that was a good idea. And we're checking on that foam.
Much appreciated. Yeah, during, like, housekeeping over the past few weeks, I've always been finding, like, a little chunk of this type of foam on the airlock intakes.
Chris, if you don't mind, could you give us some feedback on that foam? We'd like to know if it's firm or soft. That'll help us determine what kind of foam it is, and want to know your opinion on whether it disintegrates easily.
It is soft, and it is very easily disintegrating. Like, it's flaking apart in my hands.
Happy, and we see that. Thank you. Airlock Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris. You're welcome to stop disintegrating the foam. And we'd like for you to place that sample in a Ziploc bag when an EVA crew member, or excuse me, an EVA flight controller is able to review it. We'll let you know what to do with them.
Sounds good. Yeah, let me go ahead and do that. And if it's any help, it looks like it maybe came from an original sheet that was maybe just like maybe 2 millimeters thick.
Copy. We'll pass those words to our EVA flight control team.
Copy all. And Houston, just so I don't forget, I put it in a Ziploc bag labeled Airlock Foam GMT-035 and put it in lab ports.
Chris, I copied the first part of the message, but after you said lab port, it cut off.
Sorry about that. I just have text code it at lab port 6, so Ziploc bag, airlock foam, GMT-035, just taped at lab port 6.
Copy, taped to lab port 6. Thank you, Chris. Station Houston on Space Ground 2 for Chris. When able, regarding Russian harness that you found in Node 3.
Hey, go ahead on 2 for Chris.
Yes, just wanted to pass that at your convenience. We'd like for you to hand off that harness to your Russian counterpart so they can stow it.
Copy that. I will do that at some point probably later today.
Copy. Thank you, Chris. Thumbs up.
Munich station answer for PK4.
This is Munich. So we see you in Columbus again, Sergei. Yeah, good view on the EPM rack. Then you are go for your activity and the valve closure.
Copy. Go for step 2.1.
Good read back.
Munich station on 2 for PK4.
Go ahead, Sergei.
All 3 valves in closed position. 6.
And we copy. We are good in a good configuration. Thank you, Sergei. And you can press on then with the next activity. We have this 45-minute waiting time for the cool down of this KV adapter. Just say keep that in mind.
Okay.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Chris with a request for pictures of foam at your convenience.
That sounds like a great idea. Once I finish up with these EMER masks, I will do that and let you know where I put them.
Thank you, Chris.
And Houston, Station on 2. I took those pictures of that airlock foam, and I also changed the label on the bag to GMT-036 because today is 36, not 35. Yeah, totally. And just to recap, I have found little bits of this foam pretty much every week while doing house cleaning since crew 11 left. I didn't really think much of it, but since I saw it today, I figured I'd report it.
Thank you, Chris, and sorry I didn't correct the GMT time earlier, but copy, you updated it to GMT 36, and which SSC will these pictures be on?
SSC 7.
Copy, SSC 7. Thank you.
Munich station on 2 for EK4, monitor the installation.
And this is Munich, so you're definitely go for step 10.1. Any other question?
We go for 10.1.
Good read back.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Chris at your convenience regarding Space to Ground com. Actually, I need to have a conversation now. Yeah, sorry to bug you there while you're in the middle of that, but it's an event that's coming up quickly. As you're floating by, so we need to swap our Space to Grounds because of elevated temperatures on Space to Ground 1. We'll be LOS on S-band for about 5 minutes, but Space to Grounds 3 and 4 will be available for use.
Copy all. Thanks for the heads up. Yeah, we had that almost happen the other day. I've got Space to Ground 3 up in pretty much all the modules, so it should be reachable there if you need me.
Perfect. Thank you. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2. No voice response required. A thumbs up will do. Just wanting doing a voice check. I want to know if you can hear me. And copy thumbs up. Thumbs up again. Thanks.
Houston, station on 2 for Snow Track.
Chris, Houston's with you on 2.
Just a quick question. Maybe I misinterpreted all of these steps and number subpoints under step 7, but it says stow item and report serial number. So I was just reporting the serial number of the mask, but did you need the serial number of the ammonia cartridges too? Is that what you were looking for?
Checking. Chris, serial number of the mask suffices. We don't expect you to find the serial numbers for the ammonia cartridges.
Okay, cool, good, because I was about to be a little bit sad. Yeah, because 7.13 says stow and report SN just for ammonia cartridges. Do you want those ones?
Checking. And Chris, sorry for the delay there. So in 7.13, we expect those cartridges to be open, so there should not be a serial number with them. And as long as they are stowed in a Ziploc bag and final location, we're okay.
Copy that. Good, because my next question was going to be, where do I find the serial number on those? I think it's like written in tinily somewhere on them, but I don't know. Cool, thanks. I'll put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in that bag in TMM. Thanks.
Welcome, and thanks for the work.
Houston, station on 2 from the GEM. I have the GEM camera 1 set up and am ready for student voice check.
And Chris, we got you on video downlink, and we're ready for a 10 count whenever you're ready. And Chris, we lost voice and video. Can you please check the connections at that camera because it appears to be spotty?
Copy that. Yeah, let me give them a wiggle. I think we had the same issue when I was doing the JAXA event the other day.
Copy. Thank you.
Houston, station on 2. Any luck on the video signal?
Negative.
Yeah, I mean, the cables are definitely connected, and there's no issue there.
Copy. Stand by. And Chris, we'd like for you to switch to the other GEM camera.
Copy that. It'll work.
And Chris, we see video downlink while you're working on that camera. We'd like for the scene for the GEM airlock to be in the center.
Houston, station on 2. How does that look?
Scene looks good. Go ahead and give us another 10 count, please. Chris, thanks for that. We have a good scene and good voice check.
Copy all, and I have PME TV open on the SSC near me.
Copy. Glad to hear you got a good video feed. Or do you have a good video
feed? Yep, I just have a live event start.
All right, got it. Thanks. And Chris, this is your 2-minute heads up. Copy, thumbs up.
And Houston, I now have a good view of you on VME TV.
Houston copies and glad to hear it. Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Hello, we are ready for the event.
Houston ACR, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
Station, this is Houston ACR. How do you hear us?
I hear you loud and clear. How me?
Got you loud and clear as well. Please stand by for opening remarks.
Welcome to the DaVinci Science Center in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I am Lynn Erickson, Executive Director and CEO of the Science Center. Inspired by the genius of Leonardo da Vinci, our purpose is to spark curiosity, fuel discovery, and to open young minds to the wonders of the world around us, to the limitless possibilities of space beyond. Today, we are deeply honored to partner with NASA for this extraordinary opportunity to downlink from the International Space Station. We extend our heartfelt thanks to NASA and to the astronauts aboard the space station, giving students across the Lehigh Valley the opportunity to experience space travel and imagine their future among the stars.
Hi, my name is Wajita. My question is, who or what inspired you to be an astronaut, and why did you choose this job?
Hi, Wajita. I'm Chris. It's a really great question. You know, ever since I was a little kid, as young as I can remember, I was always excited about the idea of being an astronaut. Something about the idea of exploring and figuring out new things really made it seem very exciting to me. And I always wanted to do that ever since I was little. So just the idea of exploration and the idea of learning more about our Earth, our universe, and where we fit into it was always exciting to me. And so I always wanted to be an astronaut, and that led me to become a scientist. Because scientists also explore and figure out new things about our universe. But then when the opportunity came to become an astronaut, I was really excited to be able to do it. Thank you.
Hi, my name is King, and my question is, when the rocket is about to blast off, what are you doing inside the spacecraft? Are you controlling it, or are you just riding along?
Thanks for the question, King. So when you are in a rocket about to blast off, so I launched on a Soyuz rocket just a couple months ago, the rocket, most of the systems on the rocket work automatically. So it's sort of like an airplane on autopilot. But your job is to help monitor all of the systems to make sure that they're working properly and to take over or to step in if the rocket stops behaving exactly as it should be, so you can fix things and correct it. In my particular job on the rocket where I launched, I was sitting in the right-hand seat, and I was managing some of our life support equipment, some of our oxygen valves, to make sure that those are working properly. So you're feeling the G-forces and the excitement of the rocket launch, but you're also monitoring and making sure that everything is going properly.
Hi, my name is Jeffrey. My question is, what are some experiments right now on the space station that could change life in the future for Earth?
Thanks for the question, Jeffrey. So there's a whole bunch of experiments that are going on the space station that are really, I think, could, you know, make a really big difference back on Earth. One example is that one thing that really can only be done in microgravity or can be done very differently in microgravity is looking at things like the growth of crystals. Crystals can grow very differently in microgravity, and that can help us with things like developing new ways to deliver drugs that might be more effective and might be able to help people on Earth. We also have a lot of experiments on the space station that are actually observing our Earth and looking down and studying things like how the weather changes and how temperatures are evolving on the Earth. And so, you know, things like this are things that we're doing on the space station that directly affect our daily lives. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Isaac, and my question is, how much food do you have to bring to space?
Hey, Isaac, that's a really great question and a really important question, because we wouldn't be up here very long if we didn't have the right amount of food. We bring some food with us on our launch vehicles, but we also have cargo ships that come up and bring food to us. And so, you know, we're trying to look at, you know, we have all sorts of different types of foods up here. And it's actually really nice because we get some foods from our international partners as well as from NASA. So we get a lot of good variety as well.
Hi, my name is Leilani, and my question is, how do you eat in space?
Thank you for the question. We have a couple different types of food in space, and I got some examples right here. So our food either comes sort of ready to eat in packets, you know, sort of like food that you might have when you're camping. We also have some food that comes in cans, or some food like these scrambled eggs, which come dehydrated, that we add water to. And then the food just kind of floats, just like with no gravity, and you can eat it with a spoon, just like you would on Earth, except for the fact that you can turn your spoon upside down and you don't lose your food, which is kind of neat.
Hi, my name is Ariana Jade. My question is, how do you do your everyday activities in space, like washing your face?
That's a great question, you know, because dealing with water is kind of tricky in space. Water, instead of sort of flowing, it actually kind of just makes balls, kind of like this floating bubble of water in front of me. And when you're washing your face, you kind of have to just that bubble of water on you and move it all around. So your baths are kind of like sponge baths.
My name is Kaylee. My question is, how does your body adapt to microgravity over time, and what happens when you return to Earth's gravity?
That's a great question, Kaylee. So when I flew up here, one of the things that took me maybe about a week for my body to get used to was the fact that you're floating and there really isn't gravity to tell your brain what direction is up and what direction is down. So when you first get up to the space station, it's really confusing when, you know, you sort of turn your body sideways and you don't feel the force of gravity pulling down on you to tell you that, hey, you're now sideways. After about a month up here, I was so used to just being able to flip upside down or work sideways that it was just no problem. When you get back to Earth, you also go through a little bit of what's called readaptation, where you have to get used to gravity again. And what I've heard from folks that have done it recently is that it feels like everything is just super heavy because you're so used to things not weighing anything, and your brain gets used to that.
My name is Cece. My question is, how do you sleep on the space station without falling out of bed?
That's a great question, Cece. And so the cool thing about being in space is that because there's no gravity, you can't fall. So the harder thing is not falling out of bed. The harder thing is how do you stay in bed without floating away while you're asleep. And so we have really neat sleeping bags that keep us attached to the walls so that we don't float away while we're asleep.
Hi, my name is Lydia. My question is, how do you breathe without space helmets?
That's a really important question, Lydia. So within the space station, the space station is actually sealed and is pressurized. And so there's actually oxygen and air inside the space station that's kind of very similar to our atmosphere on Earth. And so we can breathe inside the space station without space helmets on. However, sometimes we do have to go outside the space station to fix things or to do science experiments in what's called an extravehicular activity. And when we do that, we do have to wear space suits and space helmets to keep air in and keep pressure on our bodies.
Hi, my name is Sarah Safari. And my question is, what is the most surprising or unexpected thing while living in space?
That's a great question, Sarah. There have been a couple things that have been sort of unexpected or surprising. Some of these I kind of knew a little bit about, but they were kind of surprising to experience it firsthand. And one of the biggest things I would say is how easy it is to lose things in space. On Earth, you're so used to putting things down on the ground and then or on a table, and then they stay there. But in space, everything floats. And I had just the other day where I was having a drink bag full of tea, and I put it down on the table and stuck it to some tape and turned my head away and turned back, and it was gone, and it had floated off, and things just kind of float along the air currents with the fans that circulate air in space station. So it took me 2 days to find where it drifted off to, which was a lot of fun.
My name is Maria, and my question is, do you play games in outer space?
Hey, Mariam, that's a really great question. We do sometimes play games in outer space. One of the fun things that we'll sometimes do with each other is because there's no gravity, when you throw something, it goes in a straight line instead of falling like a ball would on Earth. And so sometimes we try to say, all right, I see the end of our module or our compartment. Can I jump and fly straight down the center without bumping into the walls? And we try to see who can fly the farthest, which is kind of fun.
Hi, my name is Zach. My question is, how did the air pressure feel in space?
Hi, Zach. So it's actually kind of nice. The air inside the space station actually feels really similar to the way it feels on the Earth. The air pressure is about the same as what it is on a normal day on Earth. And so we actually feel pretty comfortable up here. It feels a lot like being in a nice air-conditioned building. The temperature is pretty normal, like a normal indoor temperature, and the air feels pretty much the same. When we do go outside the space station on spacewalks, we'll in our spacesuits, the pressure is different, so it feels a little bit different then. But inside the space station, pretty normal.
Hi, my name is Hadi. My question is, how do astronauts grow taller in space?
Thanks for the question, Hadi. Astronauts actually do grow a little bit taller in space. And I'm actually, I think about an inch or so taller than I was when I launched. And that's because without gravity, so normally when you're on Earth and you're standing up, gravity is kind of squishing your spine a little bit, and that shrinks you a little bit. In space, because your spine's not getting squeezed by gravity, everything kind of expands and stretches out a little bit, and so you grow a little bit taller, which is really interesting.
Hi, my name is Neil. My question is, how does Earth look like from space?
Thanks, Neela. So Earth looks incredibly beautiful from space. It was something I wasn't expecting. Something I was really looking forward to, and I thought it would look beautiful, but I was still just overwhelmed by how beautiful it looks. You see all of the blue and all of the green. We have these beautiful windows, this window called the cupola, where we can look down and look out to all sides. And, you can see the curvature of the Earth with your eyes, and you can see continents and countries flying by beneath you. And it makes me really appreciate our planet and really appreciate our world. You can also see the atmosphere and how thin the atmosphere is, which is really, really surprising and striking that you can see.
Hi, my name is Emily. My question is, how far can spaceships go?
That's a great question, Everly. So on the International Space Station, we are a little over 200 miles up in space, and that's called low Earth orbit. But really soon, a few of my friends are going to launch on a mission called Artemis 2, which is going to take them around the moon, and that's going to take them a quarter of a million miles away from Earth, so super far. So, but most of the time on the space station, we're about 250 miles above the surface of the Earth.
My name is Owen, and my question is, how do you not get bitten by meteorites?
Thanks for the question, Owen, and that's a really important question because I would not want to get hit by a meteorite. So nice thing, the fortunate thing is that there aren't too many big meteorites. They're really, really not a lot of them. However, there are a lot of really small meteorites, and on the outside of the space station, it's actually built so that when these tiny little meteorites hit the space station, they don't do all that much, they don't hurt it all that much. So you can see little dimples sometimes, though, on the outside of the space station where it's been hit by these tiny little, what we call micrometeorites. So we do sometimes get hit by those, but the space station is built to be okay if that happens.
Hi, my name is Cora. My question is, what's it like in space?
That's a really great question, Cora. So space is, to me, it's a lot of fun. It feels really nice because you can kind of just float, which is pretty relaxing. But we're also doing a lot of really interesting and important work up here. We're doing a lot of science experiments to figure out things that you really can only do in space. And it's a lot of fun to be able to be a part of that. But I really enjoy it up here.
Hey, my name is Jabari. And my question is, when you look out from the space station, what can you see beside Earth?
That's a great question, Jabari. So we can see a bunch of different things besides the Earth. The Earth is the biggest thing out of our window and one of the things we spend the most time looking at. But the stars from space station also look really beautiful. They look very similar to what you see from the ground, except like you're in a super dark place with no lights around, no city lights around, so you see so many stars and you see all of them. The other thing that you see sometimes that I think is really cool is what's called the aurora borealis, or the northern lights. And this is when some radiation from the sun interacts with our Earth's atmosphere, and it creates these shimmering ripples and waves on top of the atmosphere, and that's really beautiful to see as well.
My name is Stereo, and my question is, what is the hardest part of moving around in zero gravity?
That's a really good question, Jariel. So One of the things that took me the longest to get used to in zero gravity is that when you move around in zero gravity, you kind of jump from place to place and you just kind of float from one spot to the next. And normally on Earth, when you jump, you kind of just, you jump pretty hard and then you land. But in space, the thing is you kind of jump and take off. Then when you get to where you're going, you're going with the same speed that you left, and you really have to stop yourself. And so getting used to the fact that, like, when you jump, you have to plan for how you stop yourself is kind of an interesting thing.
It's been a joy to hear our students' thoughtful questions answered from space. Every year, more than 150,000 young people participate in Da Vinci's program. And it's moments like this that remind them and all of us, dreams can be as big as the universe. On behalf of everyone here at Da Vinci Science Center, thank you NASA and the astronauts for sharing this amazing moment with us and for inspiring us all.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated all of the questions from all the students. It was these were great questions, and I really enjoyed speaking with everyone. And I hope you had a great time visiting with me on the space station. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
This is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Houston, station on 2 for Dragon Packing.
Hey, Chris. Houston's with you on 2.
Hey, whenever you guys get KU back, I've got the O2 cameras on as well, and you are welcome to come on board for some additional essay as to where I am at. And I will at some point try to hop on the virtual ATU as well if I'm going to be in Dragon for a while.
Copy that. I'll be listening to you on the virtual ATU, and we should have KU back in a few minutes.
Copy.